Jerusalem would be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles would be fulfilled. He spoke of the great distress among nations, of men's hearts failing them for fear, wondering after that which has come upon the earth. All of this phenomena has been quite obvious to all men everywhere in our time. And as the days go by, we see new evidences of the distress of nations and the fulfillment of the prophecy that he spoke of. So he said when these things begin to come to pass, he makes it emphatic, when these things begin to come to pass, then know that your redemption draweth nigh. Lift up your heads, for you know that your redemption draweth nigh. Now it was not always revealed that certain things that we have seen quite clearly, how they were going to come to pass, for the simple reason that the book was not yet opened. In the prophet Daniel, the prophecies of Daniel were to be shut up until the time of the end. He said, shut up the words to the prophet Daniel. Shut up the words and seal the book even until the time of the end. Now, the time of the end is always a more or less certain thing unless you have some way of measuring the time of the end. Now, Jesus said, as I said before, that the Gentiles would overrun Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be downtrodden until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. According to chronologists, the times of the Gentiles was fulfilled in 1917. 2,500 years have expired, or did expire, from the time that Judah was taken captive into Babylon until 1917. And this seven times which went over, was to come over Israel, did come to pass. And then there was to be a period of time, starting at the 1260, and then the 1290, and then the 1335, a period of 75 years in which we might reasonably conclude he meant that this was the period of the time of the end. But all of these phenomena that would come into being, when these things would come to pass, when they would stand up and they'd be apparent, and if we would read with our eyes open, we would be able to see the nature of that it was in the time of the end. Now, Micah, the prophet, speaking to or of Israel, said, according to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show him marvelous things. The nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. I want to speak to you concerning particularly the Middle East, and then afterwards a worldwide view of things coming to pass. I mentioned the other night that in the course of the First World War, that the great river Euphrates power was dried up towards the conclusion of it. As a matter of fact, in 1917, this had come to pass. And this was the sign of the coming of the end of an age of Gentile times. Oh, you can see the empires of the Gentiles beginning to tremble and shake with the World War of 1917. And the very fact that a nation that was born in a day sometime later had a promise of a land that would be theirs for the first time in 2,500 years. It was very significant then that the opening of the way for a new nation to be born, and that nation was Israel. So that the land then was the provision made for this people in the First World War. so that we might be consecutive in our and orderly in our thoughts, we'll look to the next world war, the second world war, and the land then that would have been barren and the Jews would not go back to this country. The people were provided for the land. And a nation was born in 1948 in May, the middle of May, in one day. Now, this was just exactly as it should be. But when we turn to the 16th chapter of Revelations, we have the key to the consecutive order in which these events take place. So the drying up of the Euphrates power, according to the Revelation account, was to make way for the kings of the east. And when Turkey was rolled back into the Anatolia Peninsula, when she was taken, when from her was taken, or shrunken from her, all of the Arabian Peninsula, all of the Arabian countries where the Arabian people lived, the people that had never been counted upon as being of any consequence in the affairs of men, they felt that these were a dead number as far as the Arab tribes are concerned. That these people were given the power to form states under the administration of Great Britain and others, France too. And they became states. They became seven states where the Euphratian power once existed. And now, what do you come to the conclusion, or what conclusion can you come to? Is it not true that the river Euphrates, or the Euphratian power, was to be dried up for the precise purpose of making way for certain kings, and these kings were to be the kings of the East, or the nations? Well, the vacuum that was filled up by none other than these seven nations. Six of them anyway, because Egypt was not within that at that time, although Egypt was dried up from Turkey years before. Now then, we rightly, I believe, come to the conclusion that the Arab tribes are the kings of the East. And the reason why we think so is confirmed in a number of scriptures that are outstanding, really outstanding. Now we'll take, first of all, the scripture dealing with the children of Israel and Mount Seir in the 35th chapter of Ezekiel. In this chapter, we have the prophet told to set his face against Mount Seir and prophesy against him. And this is what he says: Behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee. And I will stretch out mine hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate. I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Who is Mount Seir? Mount Seir is the Arab people. They are sometimes called Mount Seir. They're sometimes called Esau. They're sometimes called Edom. But it doesn't matter by what name they are called of these names. It means the same people, and Arab means mixed peoples. Now then, the prophet goes on to say this: Because thou hast had a perpetual hatred, and hast shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time their iniquity had an end. Is there any doubt in your mind, or can there be any doubt as to when this thing should take place? It is in the time of their calamity. It is the time when their iniquity had its end, or ending. Now, the time of their calamity was the time that Hitler rose up. That was a time when 6 million of the 16 million Jews in the world perished in the concentration camps of Hitler. This is the time, this is the very time that the Arab tribes are to take up the byword of, let us put these children of Israel that elect to become a nation in this Middle East of ours, let us drive them into the sea, that there be no more. And then as we go down to the 10th verse of this chapter, because thou hast said, that is Mount Seir, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, we will possess it. Whereas That's the voice of Cairo speaking today. It says these very same words. And Cairo has said that they will lead the movement in the Middle East, the Arab tribes, in a concerted movement to drive out the children of Israel into the sea, into the Mediterranean. And they have repeatedly said there would be never any peace among the Arab peoples until they had accomplished this, that their great purpose. All of these things are well-known facts by everybody, but everybody hasn't seen it in the prophets. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord, therefore, as I live, saith the Lord, I will even do according to thine anger and according to thine envy, which thou hast used out of thy hatred against them, and I will make myself known among them when I have judged them, judged thee. Thus saith the Lord God, whole earth rejoiceth, make thee desolate, and the nations of the Arabs. As thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel, yes, what they've been doing, and the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all Edomia, and they shall know that. Joel, he makes it so clear in the third chapter of the prophet Joel. He opens up the chapter by saying, for behold, in those days and at that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, when I do this, I will also gather all the nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, I put the word "the" in there. It is not in the authorized version, but it is in the New Revised Version. So it means a special group of nations, not the whole nations of the world, but a special group of nations, as we will see as we go down into the chapter. Now we go on to the 9th verse and we read these words. Proclaim ye this among the nations. Nations again in the Revised Version. Gentiles in the Authorized. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war drown here, let them come up. What has been going on in the Middle East since the inception of the state of Israel? A gathering of force by the Arab tribes to prevent Israel becoming established. And in 1948 they had a bloody war in which the miracles of the salvation of God, that all Israel is now conscious of, they could not have done it by their own hand, became quite apparent in the setting up of this nation. Now let's go on. Swords, the spears, let the weak fail. These people that were no people at all, military strength whatsoever, now become military-minded. Dispose of a hated foe, their own brother, half-brother, Esau, Ishmael, all come from their father Abraham. But all the way through the picture, this is nothing new with the Arab people. When Moses came up from Egypt, they stood in the way of their going through the land. When Ezra and Nehemiah brought the children of Judah back from Babylon, they stood and scoffed and tried to prevent them building the walls of Jerusalem. And now for the third time, they're trying to stop Israel being established. And this is the time when God will come into the picture and destroy them that would destroy Israel. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. All the heathen round about, not the far off nations. For this sitting in the valley of Jehoshaphat, the seat of judgment of the Lord in this case, is to judge the nation round about. For the harvest is ripe. Oh, it is so ripe right now.
Going to happen.
house of Jacob, Israel, shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau, the Arab tribes, for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. Great deal of that land spoken of here is in Arab hands today. But Jacob shall possess the land that was promised to him, to his father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham, and no power on earth shall prevent it. And Savior shall come up, he continues, shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Now let us turn to Zechariah for a moment, to the 14th chapter of Zechariah. Behold, the day cometh, the day of the Lord cometh. This is what has been spoken of by many of the prophets. The great day of the Lord, the great and terrible day of the Lord, it cometh. And thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations, and in the Revised again we find all the nations. All the nations against Jerusalem to battle, all the nations round about. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. And the rest, the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. And his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives. Then the Lord shall go forth to battle, as he did in days of old, as he did when he fought in the day of battle. And you know what happened then? When the Lord fought on the side of Israel, never did they lose a single battle. I don't believe he ever lost a soldier. When the Lord told them to go forth to battle, the Lord was their armor bearer, the Lord was their general, and the Lord saw to it that no victory could come to the enemies. And so it will be once more. And his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, shall cleave in the midst thereof, and the eastern toward the east and to the west. A great earthquake takes place, and a great chasm is there, and the waters flow full through to the Dead Sea. But I want to bring to your attention, I haven't time to read all this chapter, which has to deal with the same thing. That is the contention between these two people and the victorious Zion or Israel. And Judah shall, and this is the 14th verse, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem. Of course she must fight at Jerusalem because that is her capital city. And the wealth of all the heathen, the wealth of all the heathen, not the worldwide wealth of all the heathen, but the wealth of all the heathen round about, shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. Now the picture clarifies, because the Lord has written it and revealed it. Now we turn to the 83rd Psalm. The 83rd Psalm gives a description here very much like Obadiah. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken captive, they have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. precisely, exactly the words of Colonel Nasser on so many, many occasions. They have consulted together. They have formed a confederacy. And with one consent, they are confederate against thee. With one consent, all of the Arab people in the Middle East with one consent are against Israel. Is it not an outstanding prophecy of the things that we see with our own eyes coming to pass? Of the things that Jesus expected us to see? When he said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads, for you know that your redemption draweth nigh. The tabernacles of Edom, and the Ishmaelites, and the Moabites, and the Hagarites, and Gebel, and Ammon, and Amalek, and the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. All of these people, part and parcel of the mixed tribes of the Arabs, they are the ones that have conspired against Israel and have said these violent things that they should destroy Israel. So what do we expect? Just simply this, that a war will break out in the Middle East, that it will produce in the first instance a victory for the Arabs. They will take Jerusalem. Half of the city will be carried off captive, but the residue of the people will remain. And that then, at that precise moment, a great and terrible thing takes place as far as the Arabs are concerned. For the Lord comes into the picture, and he goes forth to fight as he did in the days of battle. And his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives shall cleft in twain. A demonstration of heavenly power, which when all the nations see it, they will fear. Now, where are we in this picture? It involves not only the Middle East, it involves a whole world in which we are in. When we turn back to the 16th chapter of Revelation, we see the next chapter that is performed in the pouring out of the sixth vial. For here we have the key of the consecutive order in the event of the events in which they transpire. And after the drying up of the river Euphrates, John saw three unclean spirits like frogs going out or coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Now you see the stage, how it's prepared. First the Middle East by the drying up of the river Euphrates. And when that is accomplished and the stage is set there with the Arabs forming a confederacy as the kings of the East to prevent Israel from becoming established. That's the one picture. That's in, you might say, the internal picture. The inside picture. The inside's at the center of the stage. But then we have the next unfolding picture, which shows a worldwide thing in which spirits, evil spirits, are sent out into the world to deceive the nations and to bring them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Now then, in here we have a most important thing brought to our attention, that at this stage and in this time, before the seventh vial is poured out, before the wrath of God is poured out into the world, we have this take place. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest they walk naked and they see his shame. Now that's what we are looking for right now. Any time it could happen. Now, the next verse too is something that I'm going to make a suggestion about, just to, for you to ponder over. I'm not saying it is the correct interpretation, but it might be. And he gathered them together in a place in the Hebrew tongue called Armageddon. Gathered who? He just spoken of the coming of the Lord as a thief in the night. And the next verse says, and he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. the nations been called to Armageddon, a place of battle, or have we really been thinking about the saints being called together to a place called Armageddon? We don't know where Armageddon is, and there has been a lot of things written about Armageddon, but nobody has been very much the wiser for all that has been written. Nobody knows where it is. Some have suspected it might be the plains of Esdraelon, and the nations of the world could certainly never gather in the plains of Esdraelon, nor in all of Israel. That arena is preserved for the Lord to judge Esau in the valley of Jehoshaphat round about Jerusalem. The nations round about must be conquered, broken, despoiled, and their treasures must come into the hands of Israel to make them exceedingly rich. For if all the oil of the Middle East and the revenue that comes from it should come into the hands of the state of Israel, you could see how it would bud forth and grow at an exceeding great rate. And as he said to the prophet Micah, I will show him wondrous things as in the days when I brought him out of the land of Egypt. And what wonderful things he showed then. Now Peter has something to say about the same time. Because just immediately after this, the seventh angel pours out his vial into the air. And we have seen the result of the last world war and the world war before it, how that the airplane and the bombs that are sent off on their guided missile way to certain designations where they're going to explode and destroy the cities. This is all and now a practical fact that it can be done. And terror has taken hold of the nations, and at the present time they're saying, oh, don't let us have war, we'll just destroy each other, and there will be no life left on the earth. And they are mighty good prophets. That's just exactly what will happen, and there'll be no hand on earth stop the war that is going to come. The vial, the seventh vial, is going to be poured out from the air. And as Joshua went mustered all his strength in the days when he conquered Palestine, when five nations of the Canaanites were left there, and the Lord had told him to muster all his strength for the final effort to conquer these five last nations, it is written that the Lord destroyed more people of the Canaanites than all the armies of Joshua. And so it will come to pass again altogether likely that with all the instruments of war, destructive as they are, that men have created, that the destruction of the Lord from heaven will be greater than all the armies of the world. Now, you know the story of the seventh vial. For the issue of orders comes forth from the throne on high. And when they're sent forth, it says, it is done. It is done. The word of the Lord went forth, and it is done. Because it will never return until it unvoid, until it has accomplished the mission unto which it was sent. And there were voices and lightnings and thunders, or thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was never since men were upon the face of the earth. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and Babylon, and great Babylon, came in remembrance before God. Here's a worldwide judgment. The cities of the nations fall. And Jeremiah has something to say about this too. We turn back to the 25th chapter. Here's where it starts. In the 25th chapter, in the 29th verse, we read these words. For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name. There's only one city in the world that has that distinction. And should ye be utterly unpunished, the Jews, should they be utterly unpunished? No. There are very many wicked ones among them. And when we turn back to Zechariah again, we find that two-thirds of them are cut off. And only one-third remains. For I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, and the Lord shall roar his voice from Jerusalem, from Mount Zion, from his holy habitation in this case. He shall give a shout, as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. There is no one going to escape. He shouts from on high. The seventh vial voice says, it is done. He sends forth his power to his holy angels. And this is described in the second of Thessalonians in the first chapter, where he speaks of he sends forth his angels as flaming fire, destroying them that know not God. In the day of judgment, when the day that the saints will be revealed. And a noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations, and he will plead with all flesh, and he will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be from in that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the face of the ground. Then I'll turn to Isaiah the 24th chapter. I want to give you as complete a picture of what is coming, because only those who are prepared for this will be able to meet the issue as it should be met and escape from the terrible day of wrath which is coming upon the world. Behold, he said in this chapter, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. I can't read the whole chapter. But because of this condition of wickedness within the earth at this time, and it is the time now that we're speaking of, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. And few men are left. Now Malachi speaks of this same time. The last of the old books of the Old Testament. And he speaks of there when the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch, neither root nor branch. Few men shall be left. And now I want to finally turn to Peter. Second of Peter. For the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, that is the same word as what he's been talking about before, the judgments that came upon the earth in former days, by the same word are kept in store, kept for a certain time, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. No question or doubt about what is meant. But this is an important thing for you and for me. In the 10th verse of this chapter he says, but the day of the Lord, the great and terrible day of the Lord, it is. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The same thing that we read in Revelation, the 16th chapter, that same event that happens between the 6th and the 7th vial. In the which, in his coming, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. It bears out the same testimony that the other prophets have, and in this precisely the same way, and at the same time. It is in his coming that this takes place. He triggers the next world war. He triggers triggers the war that will take place in the Middle East. And at that very time, evil starts at Jerusalem, the city that is called by his name. He will come like a thief in the night, in the which the heavens will be destroyed, the ruling nations of the day, and they will pass away with a great noise. A great noise spoken of in the seventh vial as thunderings and lightnings and voices. A terrible demonstration of the greatest power that has ever been used to destroy. And when you consider how few men and women in this world are worthy of the age to come, you can understand and realize the extent of the great disaster that is coming upon the men and women of this world. Now, are you ready? Is the searching question that we must ask every one of ourselves. Are you ready? I've covered this topic as quickly as I could without trying to take much in the way of embroidery work into consideration. I've put it down into almost telegraphic form. There is so much to be said about the situation that we live in right now as being right on the edge, right on the very crest of the volcanic action of the Lord.